Hey, hello everybody, welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me on the line today, not in studio because we are responsible, is Clinton Matos.
Hello everybody.
And Robin Chetty.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you guys doing? First day of lockdown, officially the first day of lockdown in South Africa. How are you guys doing and feeling?
I guess feeling fine, yeah.
Normal day. So for those who don't know, we actually work from home, most of the journalists, except for Robin. So we're very used to all of this.
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm used to not leaving the house.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I am.
Not for 21. You still go to the shops, Clinton. Come on now.
No, I haven't been to the gym in like 3 months because first I was on antibiotics for an impacted tooth and then the country just got shut down. So I'm not going to be at the gym for a long time. So yeah, I understand that, but...
Yeah, right. So
it's not a huge change.
Today we just want to go over, before we jump into anything, we just want to kind of take some time to reiterate to our readers and listeners about the lockdown that is currently in place. So the lockdown applies to every single South African. The only exceptions to the lockdown are people rendering essential services, people that are seeking medical attention, and people that are getting essential goods. So that means that if you are not doing one of those things, you should be in your home at all times or within your property at all times. This is the best way to fight the spread of COVID-19 or the coronavirus, however you want to refer to it. So we just want to reiterate to everybody, stay inside, flatten the curve, because when there are fewer people interacting with each other, there's less opportunity for the virus to spread. Wash your hands, sanitize your hands when you go into places where other people are going to be. So when you do step out to go and get supplies from the grocery store, just make sure that when you bring those things back, that you have sanitized everything so that you're not bringing the disease into your home, for instance. But yeah, just stay at home, play some games, binge watch some series, and yeah, in 21 days the lockdown should be lifted. That could change, however, but as of right now, as of recording this podcast on the 27th of March at 12:07, it is a good idea to just stay at home for the next 21 days. We will be providing daily updates on our websites, even though we are primarily a technology news website. We feel that we have a responsibility to give people accurate information, so we will be providing updates to COVID-19 in South Africa from reputable resources. That's just an update from us regarding COVID-19 and the lockdown. Stay inside and keep refreshing Hypertext. We have new content all the time. We are not closing for business. We will keep going, bringing news, reviews, opinion, and all that sort of stuff from around the technology space.
Also, just want to mention, before we go on, Brendan, there is a new widget on our site. It's just a link to the South African government's landing page about COVID-19. Mm-hmm. It will give people information directly from the government. Even though it's on our site, it's a link to a governmental website, and people should check that out if they're unsure about anything to do with it in the country and about the lockdown. We really suggest people go read that directly from the government.
Reputable information at this time is important, guys. Yeah. Reputable information. Right. Let's talk about something else for a little bit. Clinton, Robin, what have you got for us?
Yeah, so obviously last night was the start of the lockdown, but for people that may not be in the know, Huawei also launched a series of smartphones. So I guess the kind of launch took a bit of a backseat to the COVID-19 pandemic and all those terrible things, but the actual devices themselves. So Huawei launched the new P40 series. There are three devices in the lineup, the standard P40, the P40 Pro, and the P40 Pro Plus. All three are coming to South Africa, but given the lockdown status, the P40 and P40 Pro will be coming in around about mid-May, they're hoping, if everything goes according to plan. And then the P40 Pro Plus should be coming around July. So we've got a whole bunch of stories about the specifications of the devices, launch dates, pricing, all those good things. And we also have a hands-on with the P40 Pro, which we have been given for review. So, yeah, if you are interested in what Huawei is doing and want to check out the new devices, we'll have a whole bunch of content for you guys.
And, we're sticking with you, though, as we go into the feature section. You wrote about a school that's using tech to enable remote learning.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess perhaps for full disclosure, the school in question is St. David's Marist Ananda in Sandton, and I'm an old boy. So that's kind of why what the school is doing kind of piqued my interest. So as you may or may not know, last week a lot of schools, if not all schools and tertiary institutions, were told to close their doors, send their kids home, and kind of wait out COVID-19. That is all good and well from a health perspective, but from in terms of education and learning, it leaves a lot of kids in the lurch, especially those in matric who have a full curriculum to get through regardless of what global pandemic is happening. Exams are still something they have to worry about. So I reached out to St. David's to kind of find out what they are doing in terms of digital education, helping kids while they're at home and still kind of get access to the curriculum. So we spoke to the head of IT, well, the director of IT at St. David's, Leo Stagg. He kind of informed us about some of the tools that they were using. And one that they're leveraging quite heavily is Google Classroom, purely for the fact that, for the most part, most of the tools on Google Classroom are free to use, which is obviously good for a school because our budgets are always limited. In terms of the actual tools that they are employing, Google Hangouts and Google Meets are two in particular that they found a lot of joy out of. So teachers are able to then must create mini lessons for students to watch or interact with at home and essentially allow them to follow the curriculum as needed. It's also important to note that public schools are currently on holiday. Private schools, I think, start in about a week's time. So the imposing of the forced recess for schools across the country essentially left a two-week window where private schools weren't able to teach curriculum. So kind of, this is where this kind of online or digital education platforms have been able to assist them. So it was quite interesting to chat to them about the tools that they have in place. Digital education was something that they have been punting for a long time, but quite a few teachers, especially those at the high school, were a little bit hesitant to actually use these kind of platforms, but as a result of COVID-19, they had to kind of fast track their learning quite quickly, and they had to kind of get to grips with all the tools in a pretty swift manner. I think one of the more interesting elements that we also chatted about was connectivity, which remains a very significant hurdle for a lot of households in South Africa. I think it's important to note that, you know, St. David's is a private school, so it has a great amount of assets it can pull from. It has more resources than a government or public school. So I think it's also important to keep that in mind, that although St. David's is doing a great thing in terms of digital education, the fact that they are a private school gives them a certain foot up on other institutions. And that kind of brings us back to the point of connectivity. And what I think one of the more interesting elements is how COVID-19 is going to show how South Africa is lacking in terms of connectivity for the vast majority of the people in the country. I was speaking to the IT director for St. David's, and he was mentioning that they were partnering with the likes of AfriHost to ensure that children and households that don't have access to internet, I think it was roughly 28 boys, most of which were part of the bursary program that the school runs, didn't have access to internet at home. So they're able to set up LTE routers for them to use during this time, which is obviously a great thing to do. But at the same time, it's also difficult for a lot of public schools to actually go that route, and especially to partner with organizations like AfriHost. So again, I think this sheds a very strong light on the fact that connectivity is a serious, serious hurdle. And I know that as a result of COVID-19, a lot of organizations have now, or a lot of networks and carriers and service providers have been kind of zero rating access to education websites in particular. I feel like that's a step that should perhaps be carried on beyond COVID-19 and beyond the lockdown.
So I also just want to make note of something. something else, Robin. Sorry to kind of interject here. But something I want to kind of throw forward is that it's very easy for like some people to say like, oh, just join a video stream or something like that. And I mean, like, it's cool that you have organization zero rating data to educational websites, but that's not where a lot of this learning is taking place. I mean, there's a lot of, like you say, Google Classroom. It may be free for schools to use, but accessing that is another story entirely. In terms of connectivity. And I think that, like you say, it's going to throw into sharp relief this lockdown, how lacking this country is in terms of connectivity and how much still needs to be done to connect people to the internet. Because, cool, for instance, my university's website might be zero rated, but the lectures could be being hosted on Twitch or YouTube or something else, and that service isn't zero rated. And that, I think, is going to present a really big problem in terms of finding solutions, number one, to allow people to have classrooms, and number two, allowing people to access those solutions when they are available. But still, to kind of augment that a little bit, I think it's really admirable how agile the education system has been in this time, especially as regards institutions like St. David's, to be able to have a plan in place for remote learning in such a short turnaround time. Because, I mean, this lockdown was announced on Monday evening, which gave people literally 3 days to prepare. So I think, like, where there are shortfallings, there should be a bit of understanding from South Africans that we've had very little time to prepare for this, and the measures that have been put in place should be seen for what they are, which is an agile application of things in a society where I feel that we're not really primed to be that.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I remember reading something on Twitter, someone messaged and said that essentially, obviously COVID-19 is a terrible thing that's happening to the world, but it serves as a great litmus test in terms of how countries are prepared for one, connectivity, two, remote working, which has obviously been touted as like the next wave in terms of how the workplace environment is going to be operating in the future, and access to information. I mean, I understand obviously South Africa has several shortcomings, but connectivity is obviously, I think, perhaps one of the biggest ones we are seeing now play out as a result of mm-hmm. COVID-19.
Yeah. And hopefully when schools reopen, we see more of this. But also, Clinton, I kind of want to touch base with you because you are actually you are studying remotely. How has this affected you?
So if anyone's listening to this and a bit confused by that statement, it's because I'm a student at the University of South Africa. So for anyone outside of the country or just those who aren't aware, the University of South Africa is a distance learning university. It's not an online university. Like, I know America has a lot of online universities.
University of Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. They kind of have, I don't know what's the best way to say this. They don't have the best reputation, but UNISA is very unique in, I think, the entire world, where it's a decently regarded university that does most of its studies away from its campuses. And while it does have multiple campuses, both in South Africa and abroad, it actually has multiple campuses all around the world. The students do most of their studies at home or online. So when it was announced that a lot of people were moving to study online, I didn't do anything. I was already doing that, and I have been doing it for the last 3 years of my degree. So in terms of what I'm doing right now, I'm doing exactly the same thing. I get all my assignments from my UNISA, which is a portal for students where they log into the regular site and they access all their stuff. I do all my assignments at home in Word. And occasionally we will have not a lecture, but we will have an update. If something big happens for the module, we usually have a stream that happens through YouTube. So for me, nothing's really changed because of the way the university is set up. Now, I do want to state again, much like Robin was saying, I'm in a unique position because I have a connection at home. For a lot of people, they still travel to the UNISA campuses either to use the physical libraries that are there or to use the internet facilities that they have, where you can go into the computer lab and use those computers that are there. And that's not an option for them. So again, even for people who study online or work from home already, the lockdown still has a big effect. And we'll need to see what's going to happen, because at the moment, UNISA has not announced what's happening with our exams, which are taking place in May and June. Right now, they're still on track, but it might be illegal for them to take place, because the exams take place in huge halls where we have, I don't know if it's hundreds, but it's definitely more than 100. So not to extend this out, basically, I'm still going as is, but for a lot of people, this has been a big disruption to their studies, and I don't know how the school is going to kind of give them back that time that they have lost to coronavirus.
It's a very, very interesting time. It's like, yeah, I don't even know what to say. I'm actually just still trying to digest all of this. I mean, I've been watching news and following the news along for the past couple of weeks, months actually, since January, before MWC, and it's just now that it's here and like there are tangible effects, it's quite crazy. Never in my lifetime, what's the word that what did they use? Newsroom Africa last night just used the word unprecedented so many times. Yeah. It's now etched in my mind. Unprecedented time.
Yeah, but because yeah. I mean, my parents are both over 60, and they've been around for all of them, right? They've been around for swine flu, SARS. What was the other big one that happened a few years ago?
MERS.
Yeah, they've been around for all of those, but none of them have been this impactful, and none of them have elicited a response from South Africa like this one. And I've been speaking to people overseas, and they're quite surprised that South Africa comparatively has a very low infection rate and a tiny amount of casualties so far. This morning was actually announced that two people have perished, and any loss of life is terrible. Mm. But I mean, in Italy the other day, a person was dying every 2.5 minutes. And now yeah. America has overtaken Italy as the biggest number of infections. And South Africa, again, has a relatively small amount, but we've initiated these drastic measures to try and control that, which on the one hand, again, it is unprecedented and it is a bit scary, but it has to be done.
Absolutely.
And a lot of South Africans have said they're quite proud of the actions, because this will impact the economy. This will scare a lot of people, but it needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that we do want to reiterate, is that we are usually the first people to criticize governments.
Oh, yeah.
But this time around, I think that credits must be given to the response by Cyril Ramaphosa and the leaders of this nation. Because, I mean, to take the decision to close down the economy when we are already struggling for the good of the people... Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
I mean, we are not even technically, we are in a recession right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a few weeks before the coronavirus stuff really kicked off. But one of the government bodies, I can't remember which one it was right now, they announced officially we're in a recession, and then coronavirus showed up, which, you know. Very, very scary times, but there are institutions like schools which are try to make the best of it, and all we can really hope that is if something like this happens again, we now have the tools and the procedures to deal with them.
Yeah.
I think that's the only real upside to look at right now.
So yeah, if you want to read about what St. David's Marist and Nanda is doing, we'll have a link to Robin's story at the bottom of this post, and you can see what they're doing. And if you're a teacher, perhaps you can gain some inspiration from what is happening and apply that in your own school maybe as well. Right, on to things that are a little bit more gory.
Yeah, if that's possible. It's kind of hilarious. We're going to be talking about Doom Eternal now, which is a game about the world being taken over by demons. And that's
great.
That's a much more cheerful subject than what we've been speaking about. So for anybody out of the loop, Doom Eternal is a direct sequel to the 2016 game, which is very irritatingly enough just called Doom. It's developed by id Software and published by Bethesda. I've been playing it, and before I talk about it, I want to ask you guys, have either of you or both of you played the 2016 game?
100 times.
Not 100 times, but a couple times.
Okay, so I think whoever's listening to this, you can tell we really like that game. And for many people, myself included, it is one of my favorite games of all time, and definitely one of the best first-person shooters of the previous decade. So when they announced they were making a sequel, it did get delayed a little bit, but it's out now. People were, I don't think they were skeptical, because 2016 blew it out of the park so well that a lot of people looking at Eternal and thinking, you know, how much better could they make this? Because 2016 was so good and it was so polished and so many people loved it. And I'm here to tell you, they did it. So let me tell you how they made it better. The first thing to talk about is the Doomslayer himself. Strangely enough, when you boot up this game, you have the exact same weapons, or you unlock them as you go. You have the exact same armory that you did in the 2016 game. Now, that's a bit odd. I can see some people wanting more weapons, but where things really change is in your equipment. So you may notice that Doomslayer now has, I don't know what you'd call it, it's like a weird little cannon thing on his shoulder. And that introduces a lot into the game. First of all, you get something called the Flame Vulch, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's basically a short-range, short-duration flamethrower. And then that little cannon thing also shoots out two different kinds of grenades, not just one. Hey, Bobby, why does Mom let you have two grenades? The first of them is a frag grenade, and the second of them is a freeze grenade, and you can switch between them. And then you get a few other things. I don't want to talk about all of them because some come in the later game and they're a spoiler, but something you get very early and is in the trailers is called the Blood Punch. And it's just basically a very strong melee attack. And these new things, they sound, you know, kind of underwhelming. I mean, you've got a rocket launcher, you've got the BFG, you've got a sniper machine gun, you've got the super shotgun. How do these three little additions change up how you play the game? And the answer is a lot. And the reason for that is that Doom Eternal is, I don't want to say it's much more difficult, but the demons are much more aggressive and you take a lot of damage in this game. Even the imps, which are the basic smallest enemy, can kill you very quickly.
Oh.
And on top of that, your ammo, you have very little ammo. I don't know if people have seen, but in the new game, Doom Guy, the Doomslayer, has less armor. You can kind of like see his biceps and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think those pieces of armor that he lost is where you should keep the majority of his ammo. Because, yeah, even in small fights in this game, you will run out of ammo very quickly. But this isn't a mistake. The people at ID are very clever. This is a deliberate design choice, because while you're running around killing demons, they intend for you to run out of ammo. They intend for you to get very close to death. And that's because you need to use the tools that you have to get more ammo, to get more health, and to get more armor. And the way you do that is by killing demons. So how do you get more armor? Well, you have a flamethrower, and wouldn't you know it, when you kill demons that are on fire, they drop a lot of armor. Huh. How do you get more health? Well, when you do a glory kill, which is a finishing move on weakened demons, you get more health. And how do you get more ammo? Well, you use the trusty chainsaw. So your chainsaw has three charges, and you can pick up more fuel for it as you go along the game. When you use the chainsaw to kill an enemy, they give you a little bit of all your ammo. So you can go from not a single shot in any of your guns to almost full on all of them just by chainsawing an imp or something like that. So every fight becomes what id Software calls a combat puzzle. You need to look at, what demons do I need to kill? What ammo do I have? What grenades do I have? Is the flame belt ready? Is my blood punch ready? What can I use to kill the demons and also make sure I have all the resources to kill more demons? And the difference between this game and Doom 2016 is, it's surprising how different they are, because if you start playing Doom Eternal, you know that this is Doom 2016 with stuff added onto it. I mean, it's very similar. I wouldn't be surprised if they took Doom 2016 and they just bolt on top of it to make Eternal. But once you get into the nitty-gritty of combat, especially once you're a few hours in where the difficulty really ramps up, if you're not taking heed of how these systems interact, you will die very quickly. I originally started it on the hard difficulty, and I had to bump myself back down to medium because I was getting my ass whooped. So, I mean, hats off. I really think this is a game that people interested in game design should play to understand how clever it is that the systems in the game interact like that. So I'm very happy with the combat. But thankfully, a lot of people complained that in 2016, you just killed stuff and that was the entire game. And id Software has taken that to heart and they've introduced other things you can do. The first big thing and something a lot of people were, I don't want to say afraid of because that's a bit too strong, something they were unsure of is parkour. So as you start up this game, you already have double jump and very short into it, you will unlock a ledge grab, a wall climb, and the ability to dash in either direction. And using that, you have to do first-person parkour puzzles. Now, when I announced that and people are talking about any other game except something like Mirror's Edge, they get very worried. And again, I want to put those worries to bed. Are there a lot of these jumping puzzles in the game? Yes. But thankfully, most of them are very short. And I think there was only one puzzle in the game that kind of made me irritated. And I just wanted to shoot demons and not jump around. But that's, I think it was a bit of a problem with the level design. But again, I'll get to it at the end. The game took me 13 hours to finish. And having only one puzzle in the whole game that was irritating is a really good ratio of good to bad. And on top of those things, you also have a lot more exploration. So every level has, I would say, a dozen or more collectibles. And you can get little toys to put in your base, which I'll get to in a minute. You have codexes, which give you more lore. You have upgrades for your guns and your armor and everything else. And when you go into a level, they're completely optional. You don't have to look for them, but if you do, you will become a stronger Doomslayer and you will have more cool stuff with the Fortress of Doom, which is your hub world. So again, for those who have played 2016, that game was very linear. You started at one point and you had to get to another point and there was very little to go off the beaten track and there was nowhere to kind of rest. You just finished levels one after each other. The Fortress of Doom gives you the opportunity to kind of decompress and to upgrade yourself because there are locked off sections of the Fortress of Doom that can only be unlocked by finding energy cells within the levels. And that's kind of your, people have called it the Doom guy's man cave, which it very much is. I mean, he has a collection of guitars at one point. He also has, I can't remember if it's a double or triple screen gaming setup, which is cool. Yeah. He has like the setup and he's got like folders that said like pictures of dead demons and stuff like that. There's a lot of Easter eggs like that. And then the last thing I want to add about things which aren't combat are lore and story. There are a lot more cutscenes and moments where characters talk to you in this game. And it really adds to the atmosphere. Even for people who didn't want that and they just wanted somebody who was going around shooting demons and nothing else, the lore here was fantastic. I really liked it. Anyone who's ever enjoyed Warhammer 40K will get a kick out of this because there's a lot of things which are similar between them. And last and very much least is the multiplayer. So going back, I know you can't talk about this game without talking about the last one. In 2016, there was an FPS arena mode, which a lot of people actually did love, but a lot of people kind of like Resident Sleeper. It wasn't their favorite thing to do in Doom 2016. That's gone. In its place, you have something called Battle Mode, which is a three-player-only mode where one player is the Doomslayer and another two people are demons. And basically, whoever survives by the end of three or four rounds is the winner. I'm not going to say the mode is bad because objectively, it's not. It's just, it doesn't offer anything that much that we haven't seen. And it's just not that compelling. You know, I came out of the single player after 13 hours and I sat down to play battle mode and I was just so unimpressed. Not only does it not live up to the action of the single player, but it has a lot of glaring problems. For example, you can blow through all three or four of those rounds in about less than 5 minutes. It's a very quick game mode. And that leaves you, it doesn't leave you time to kind of learn the maps or learn the intricacies of the mode because you get through it so fast. And the problem is that those who have been able to learn the intricacies can just blow through you. It's crazy. Even though it's two demons against one Doomslayer, if you have a demon that's really learned the game, they can kill the Doomslayer in seconds. And the opposite is true as well. The Doomslayer, if they're experienced enough, they can get matched up against you and they can just stomp you. They can kill both demons in about 20 seconds. Sure. And I've timed it. I'm not joking about that. And the matchmaking is really poor. The level where I got matched up against a really good Doomslayer, he was on level 55, and neither the other demon or myself were higher than level 20. And we got smashed. So battle mode's not that good. Maybe it will be improved in the future. And they got rid of Snap Map. So Snap Map in 2016 was the ability for people to make their own levels using assets from the single player. That's just gone. And I'm very sad about that, because the reason Doom, aside from being a good game, the original Doom from the 90s, the reason it was so popular, aside from being a good game, is that people loved making mods for that game, and there's no support for that here.
Mm.
And it's going to be difficult to do that because Doom has Denuvo. Denuvo. Anyway, that DRM setup on PC. So everything outside of the single player isn't that good, but the single player is so damn good that I can kind of forgive it. Anyway, I'll stop blathering. The game is out now. Everybody can play it. My review's a bit late because I wanted to play the multiplayer, which wasn't out. And then there were server issues. It was a whole thing. But by the time you listen to this, our review will be out and you can check it out. And if you do like it, you can go and play it immediately. So that might be something you might want to play if you're under quarantine or a lockdown like us.
Cool. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to playing that game during lockdown once I eventually work my way through Borderlands 3. Because we were sent a Steam code for that, and as a Destiny player, I'm seeing if it can kind of scratch that itch. I'll update you about that next week. There'll be a piece next week on that. So look forward to that. So I just want to close off today to chat about retailers during COVID-19. Yes, we're back to COVID-19. It's sort of like the Marvel movies or the Avengers movies. Starts with Tony Stark, must end with Tony Stark. Anyway, so COVID-19 and retailers. This week, Takealot provided an update on the shortly after the announcement was made that South Africa would go into lockdown. Takealot said that it wanted to remain open for business, stating that it supplied essential goods, or on the basis that it supplied essential goods. And yesterday we received an update from Takealot, stating that it will still be operational, but will only be providing essential goods. So if you head to Takealot, you will only be able to purchase essential goods. You won't be able to purchase a router or a new gaming PC or a laptop or something like that. Because Takealot does sell groceries. So things like coffee, cleaning supplies, that sort of stuff, you will be able to pick up through Takealot and they will deliver it to you. They do have measures in place that will, so that you don't have to interact with a delivery person. They can just drop it outside your door and then you can collect it from there rather than putting yourself at risk. So I just wanted to kind of chat about this and some of the stuff that has come out this week in terms of retailers. If you are a business that is not rendering an essential service, and I'll provide a link to a statement from government that outlines what is declared an essential service or what is considered an essential service or an essential good or something like that. If you are a company that is not on that list and you want to remain open for business, the only way that you're going to be able to do that is by allowing your workers to work remotely. I know that we've already said stay at home, but this is a very important point. I understand that it is a very, very difficult time for businesses in this country, especially your smaller businesses. And the temptation to carry on business as usual is very strong. But as we've mentioned a couple of times already in this AfriCast, is that this COVID-19 disease is incredibly serious. People are dying around the world. We've had two deaths confirmed here in South Africa, one who was 48 and one who was 28. So it doesn't matter that what age you are. It doesn't only affect elderly or sick people. Anybody can be affected by this. So I just want to really reiterate, like, I'm not saying that Takealot is bad for wanting to keep business open. Not at all. And what they the agreement that they've reached by delivering essentials only is good. It's very, very good. Because there are people that can't go out to a shop. There are people that might not have transport to get to a shop. People who are sick and can't get to a shop. And that sort of thing. So it is good that there is an option for people who can't go out into public. That's really good. But I think it's just worth it to reiterate to companies, don't take chances. The armed forces are out in full effect. The police are out in full force. Don't take chances. There are regulations in place. There are forms that you need to have filled out. And if you are found to be lying about being an essential service, there are repercussions. So be very, very careful, ladies and gentlemen. But Takealot's is open for business, but only delivering essentials. If you are listening to this and you don't want to go out to the stores, I know that panic buying was very, very, popular this week, which is understandable to an extent because following this 21 days, we don't know what the future holds. If you are struggling to get hold of things like Dettol or something as sounds as trivial as coffee, coffee is not trivial, then Takealot is open for business. Also, all your grocery stores will be open for business, but they will have limited trading hours. So just take note of that. Perhaps get in contact with your local Spar, Pick and Pay, Checkers, whatever grocery store is near you, and just ask them about what their retail hours are. And then also something that we're doing, myself and the people that I'm staying with at the moment, is when we want to go out, because the police and army will be patrolling areas, if you spot them, maybe just ask them, hey, listen, when can we go out? Because that is something that hasn't been clear. Because when you travel, you do need to provide proof of why you are outside of your house. But it's unclear how you present proof that you are going to the grocery store. I suggested to somebody that they take a photo of their fridge. It seems silly, but yeah. You will be required, there was a statement that was made by the police that you will be required to present a till slip if you are coming back from the store. So make sure you have that on hand. Don't be like, no, I don't need a slip. Take it with you just in case. But in terms of how to prove that you are going to the store, I would say that be honest and say you are going to the shops to collect groceries and stuff, and then head straight home. Don't dilly-daddle, don't mess around, don't loiter, don't do anything that could put you at risk of being shouted at or going to prison, because regulations are very strict at this time.
You're also allowed to leave your home for medical.
Yes, I think I did mention that at the top, but if medical purposes are definitely, you are allowed. So if you need to go and get a test for COVID-19 anything. Or anything, you need to go for a dentist appointment, like you are allowed to do that. Don't think that, oh, it's 21 days lockdown, I have to die in my house. No, there are resources available for you, or there is provision for you to be able to leave your house for that.
And I think if anyone is going, like I might need to go to my doctor to deal with something, I'm getting headaches and I don't have fever or anything. I have natural headaches. I've been testing for it before. But if I need to go see my doctor, I'll probably say to him, hey, can you just write on your, you know, that little doctor's pad that I've come to see you and I might need to see you again.
Yeah.
Just to have myself covered.
Absolutely, like a sick note sort of thing.
It's not going to take, your doctor's not going to be like, yeah, what are you going to give me or whatever. It's not going to take a lot of time and it's not going to cost you money just to ask, at the very least, to ask your medical provider, can you write me something just to prove I've been here and I might need to be here again?
Yeah. So
have we also spoken about the restrictions just in terms of vehicles?
Oh,
and the number of people you have inside them.
Good point, Robin. So vehicles may not have more than half of their capacity. So if you are driving a normal, like regular car, a normal like sedan, let's say you're driving a sedan, and they are usually allowed to have four people in the car. Now you're only allowed to have two, which includes the driver. So it's the driver and one other passenger. And then the passenger must be seated in the back seat. So for any vehicle the capacity of that vehicle, halve it, and that includes the driver in there, right? So if you can have up to 15 people in a vehicle, that is 7 people including the driver. So just be cognizant of that. We'll have a link to that as well. From the South African Police Department, the Minister of Police, Bheki Cele. I butchered that name, but I'm sorry. I'm a white boy in South Africa. I'm trying my best. but yeah, he has stated, and it was Fikile Mbalula also listed the restrictions in terms of transport. Uber is also still operating to ferry essential workers and those getting essential goods, but those will only be available between 5 a.m. and 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. in the afternoon. Buses as well will also be available for those that need or that are rendering essential services and need to be able to get to work. But rail and air travel is strictly prohibited. You cannot cross over a provincial border. And yeah, they're just be cognizant. We'll have links to all of these statements and regulations from government below. So yeah, just so that you are fully aware of how you can move and how you cannot move during the lockdown in South Africa.
One last thing I want to mention before we go off, Brendan, that, you may want to consider shopping online through Takealot. The reason is that leading up to the lockdown, I was busy getting stuff. And basically, a lot of shops have instituted, I don't know what you call them, practices where only a certain number of people could go into the store at one point, which was great. But then the effect of this was that people were standing outside the store lined up very close to each other.
Mm.
And people didn't want to like give up their spot or anything. And they were not abiding by the amount of space you need to leave people.
So, 1 meter.
Yeah, they were definitely not. They were right on top of each other. And again, people are desperate to get food and they don't want to lose their spot in line. But they're now putting themselves in harm's way by being so close to other people. So maybe consider shopping online. And if you do need to go to a physical store, try keep a distance between people. The best way I saw, I don't know if people are doing this intentionally or just, you know, a happy coincidence, but they were holding on to their trolleys and their trolley was providing enough space between people. So if everybody is like holding on to a trolley, you can create a nice bumper between yourselves.
That's a good idea, except for the fact that I suppose if you sanitize the trolley, you should be fine. And
yeah, some of them had even before the whole coronavirus stuff, a lot of shops had sanitary wet wipes in front of them for anyone to use. People may want to consider that, or taking wet wipes or hand sanitizer with them and just applying that to the handle of cart. Please just stay safe, everyone. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, stay safe, everyone. I think that's going to do us for this week. Robin, do you have anything you want to add?
No, just stay home, please.
Yeah, just stay home, everybody. Play games. I've seen a lot of people have started to play games, people that didn't play games beforehand. There are some great worlds you can escape to. And yeah, just stay safe, everybody. But from us here at Hypertext, thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll be back again next week, remote, as always, for the duration of the lockdown. But from myself, Brendan Lodge, cheerio, from Clinton Matos.
Bye, everybody.
And from Robin Nichetti.
Cheers.
We'll see you next week. Stay safe.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.